Welcome to Wisdom Trek with Gramps. Wisdom is the final frontier in gaining true knowledge. Our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, and to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. This is Gramps. Thanks for coming along on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Today is day 1579 of our trek, and it is time for Meditation Monday. Taking time to relax, refocus, and reprioritize our lives is crucial in order to create a living legacy. For you, it may be just a time alone for quiet reflection, or you may utilize some sort of structured meditation practices. In my life, meditation includes reading and reflecting on God's Word and in prayer. It is a time to renew my mind, refocus on what is most important, and making sure that I am nurturing my soul, mind, and body. As you come along with me on our trek each Meditation Monday, it is my hope and prayer that you too will experience a time of reflection and renewing of your mind. We are continuing our series this week on Meditation Monday as we focus on mastering Bible study through a series of brief insights from Hebrew scholar Dr. Michael S. Heiser. Our current insights are focusing on the accuracy of interpreting the Bible. Today, let's meditate on Bible study, possible interpretations. Insight number 61. It's okay when Bible study produces more than one possible interpretation. Most people do not like movies that seem to end ambiguously intentionally. Love it or hate it, we want closure. We don't feel empowered by a director who lets us decide what the film meant. That just leaves us wondering why his or her mind was so clouded. Note to the director, the way to convince us that you're brilliant isn't to show us that you're incapable of precise thinking when it matters the most. I've known people that approach Bible study in the same way. They can't tolerate the idea that there might generally be more than one interpretive option for a passage. The notion that alternatives exist disturbs them. The fact that those alternatives might be equally viable makes them break out in a cold sweat or even a rage. I've never said it out loud, but I've thought it. Please put down your strong concordance and calmly walk away from that verse. This sort of overreaction telegraphs an emotional need for certainty. The thought that one's tradition, pastor, or parents might have been incorrect about something in the Bible produces a sense of vulnerability. That's unnecessary and, frankly, well beyond how God looks at a goal for Bible study. Bible study shouldn't be fear-based. God does not expect omniscience on the part of Bible students. He expects effort, humility, and a spirit of obedience to do His will. Even if we don't and we cannot know for certainty what the Bible teaches in every passage, we can still apply what we're able to grasp, or at least think we've grasped, to our lives. Scripture is quite clear on the fundamental virtues and vices, what pleases God and what offends Him. Another way to look at this has to do with the nature of Scripture. However small, resistance to uncertainty implies that there is nothing in Scripture that could realistically transcend our intellectual ability to comprehend with certainty. It is hard to consider that as anything but arrogance. As a longtime student of the Bible, I can tell you that the more I see in Scripture, the more I realize I don't see. A Bible that's all figured out would lose its intrigue and, in fact, its importance. Thankfully, it isn't something we need to worry about. Now let's move on to insight number 62. Pay attention to how biblical writers interpret other biblical writers. Biblical writers didn't always produce original material. They used a variety of sources. This is especially true of the New Testament writers. The reason is apparent, but sometimes overlooked. They had the Old Testament as a point of reference for what they had experienced and therefore what they wrote. The New Testament writers cite the Old Testament hundreds of times. That sort of frequency demands attention. If you're going to be serious about Bible study, you cannot neglect to observe what the New Testament writers did with the Old Testament. Failing this simple strategy for understanding the Bible is something that I've seen many times. The Bible students and pastors I've observed are mostly ignorant of the importance of the Old Testament. The prevailing attitude are that the Torah and the historical book, that is Genesis through 2 Chronicles, only have value for character sketches. The poetic books are regulated to devotional reading, and the prophets become fodder for end-time speculation, even though most prophecies you see were regarded as already fulfilled by the New Testament writers. There are many reasons Bible students should pay attention to how the New Testament writers cite the Old Testament. For example, doing so would reveal how prophecy is not always fulfilled according to literal expectations. Matthew saw the emergency trip of Jesus to Egypt and back again as fulfillment of Hosea chapter 11 verse 1. But if you read Hosea 11 verse 1 in context, it isn't even prophecy. It looks backwards into Israel's history, not forward into the future. Matthew's point about Hosea is to strike an analogy between Israel and the Messiah, who is Jesus. That thought is an abstract one, but theologically robust. Equally striking is how the writers assign Old Testament verses that have God in view to Jesus. When John has Jesus telling the woman at the well that he would give her living waters, it is no accident that he alludes to Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 13, which has God as the source of living water. The citation interchanges God and Jesus. When the New Testament writers cite the Old Testament, they are doing so to make theological points. Observing them teaches us biblical theology. We would do well to see how biblical writers did their own Bible study. And let's close today with our verse, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so that you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. And that's a wrap for today's meditation. Next week we will continue on our trek on Meditation Monday as we take time to reflect in Bible study on what is most important in creating our living legacy. Thank you for joining me for this trek that we call life. And encourage your friends and family to join us and to come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek, Creating a Legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,578 daily treks or read the daily journal, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor, but most importantly, I am your friend as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward. Enjoy your journey, and then create a great day every day. See you tomorrow for more daily wisdom.